Thank you. Thank you, Brother Steve, for such a generous introduction, and I appreciate it. And I'm glad to be here with my brothers and sisters of the East Local, because you mean a great deal to me. And it's a pleasure for me to have the opportunity to meet with you again. I had a rather disheartening experience a few minutes ago. I left Dorothy up on top of the hill, and she said, will you be home after church? And I said, yes, I'll be home after church. But she was thinking I was coming back to see her, perhaps, but that isn't really home. It's her home, but it hurts me that she's there and I'm somewhere else. I'd appreciate very much if you would remember us from time to time because of the situation that we find ourselves in, and we know that we're not alone. We know that there are others with us that are suffering similarly. But we all have the Lord. And God is our strength, and God is our shepherd. And were it not for Him, we would be in a sad condition. And I'm sure that I'm not telling you anything new. It's something that you have known all your life, or a great deal of it, if not all. But I've had that testimony since I was a very small child. I remember quite clearly when I was a child. I don't know whether I was yet in school or had just started to school, when I had a dream, and that dream is as sharp with me today as it was when I was that little child. I was made aware that you and I have an enemy to face, to contend with. And he's sly, and he's sharp. And that we continually, throughout our lifetime, have to stand against him, because he has a great ambition to destroy you and me, dragging us down to that place that he is doomed to spend eternity in. That was my first awakening. My next one was when I was 10 years old and I was aware that God had said that we must come into the kingdom of God through the door of baptism. And believe you me, I wanted to enter that door. Some of you have heard me tell this before, and I don't think it hurt to tell it again. Some of you haven't heard it, perhaps. There were five of us young people, all of us, I was the youngest, that were going to be baptized at that Sunday afternoon. It wasn't like today. It was the second day of January. And we had the opportunity to use a pool, an inside pool, which we ourselves didn't have. We used the one in the stone church. because of my youth, being the youngest, I was the first one to be taken into the water. And I stood there while the rest of them went in and came out. During that time, I heard what I thought was the congregation singing the most beautiful song my ears had ever heard. That song thrilled me. And it still thrills me today. A few weeks after this happened, I asked my mother what that song was. She said, "Son, we sang several songs. How did it go?" Well, I hummed it to her because I didn't know the words. And she looked at me in amazement. She said, "Son, I never heard that song before." And I was puzzled. How could you have sung it along with everybody else if you hadn't heard it before? She made inquiries. My brother Sheldon's grandfather was the leader of the songs, like my brother tonight. She went to him, she went to all the rest. They never heard that song before. I was troubled. Why did I hear something that the rest of them didn't hear? Seven years later, in high school, I decided it's time to read this book. My mother had always read it to me. When I read this book, the record of the people who God brought to this land 600 years before Christ, I learned what I heard. The angels sing. Brothers and sisters, we have a I'm trying to think of a proper word that would cover the wonderful gift that God has provided for you and me. He's provided a door through which we can go. And I'm happy to tell you that last Sunday afternoon I was permitted to lead my niece, who's sitting near the back of the room, and her husband, who isn't here tonight, into the waters of baptism. I hope if there's anybody here who has not gone through that experience, that they will give it very serious consideration. Because, brothers and sisters, the time is passing rapidly and we don't know what's ahead of us. We need to get ourselves in such a condition. Excuse me. If I may diverge just a moment. My wife's put up with hay fever for many years until recently. And I guess I have inherited it from her now, then it's given me trouble. I've been free of it back when she was suffering with it. I'm glad she's not suffering with it now. But I hope you'll pardon me, as it gives me trouble from time to time. The Lord has opened the way through His Son, Jesus Christ, through His death, that we might enter into that wonderful kingdom. And I'd like to bear testimony a little further, if I may. I was permitted to see it. My brother and my sister, there is no way it can be described because of its beauty. God has prepared for those who serve Him and keep His commandments a place far more beautiful than our imaginations can begin to conjure. Yes, we're going to have trials. Yes, we've had trials. There isn't a one of you here tonight but have had trials. And the trials aren't going to stop, because we have made a covenant with Jesus Christ that we would keep His commandments and serve Him all the rest of our lives. We have a war to rage, and that war is going to keep us busy. But we have a promise too. But if we will keep His commandments and do His will, His Spirit shall be with us to strengthen us, to carry us through, to help us to accomplish everything that God has required at our hands. And you know, brothers and sisters, we have a lot of friends and neighbors who need to know that. And who can tell them better than those of us who have had the evidence that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently serve Him and keep His commandments. We each one have a great responsibility. And I wonder how many times we let that opportunity slip through our hands and it's gone. Sometimes we don't want to be in the limelight. We'd rather be back in the shadow where we're not noticed. But we have no need to be ashamed of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed, that you and I might have eternal life. You know, I'm quite concerned. I get a great amount. Excuse me a moment. I know now how Dorothy's been suffering for the many years, and some of the rest of you who have this trouble at this time of year. It isn't pleasant. But I hope that it isn't too unpleasant for you, for me to be disturbed by it as I stand before you. I am receiving from day to day a great deal of mail, and I don't know why they've targeted me as a reception for the reception of all of this stuff. But our country is in danger. And we're going to need all the blessings of our Heavenly Father that we can obtain to protect us from those things that are coming upon the earth. And the only way that we can get that protection is to keep the covenant which we have made when we entered the waters of baptism. Because he has made a promise to us that if we keep his commandments, that we shall have his Spirit to be with us, not now and then, all the time. And I'd like for us to stop and take a look at ourselves. Don't take a look at our brother, our sister, somebody else. Let's look inside. How many times today? How many times have I slipped on something I should have done, or have done something I should not have done? We have to watch self, don't we? But the promise is, if you and I keep that covenant which we made with our Heavenly Father and with his Son Jesus Christ, that we would keep his commandments. And you know, we've renewed that covenant each first Sunday of the month when we've come together to partake of the emblems of the broken body and spilled blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've renewed that covenant. Have we kept it? Do we slip now and then? Well, if we don't, I'll be surprised, because I'm going to tell you right now, Nicholas slips once in a while. He watches pretty carefully, or he tries to, but every once in a while he slips on something. And it's not always a banana peel. Now, I'm not sitting in judgment upon you. I can't, and I don't want to. I thank God that he didn't give me the responsibility to sit in judgment upon you. But he gave you the responsibility to sit upon yourself. And I have to sit in judgment upon Nicholas quite often. In fact, I have to watch him all the time. Because Satan is not going to let up as long as we draw a breath. He's going to get us into a tight spot any time he gets the opportunity. And I don't think that I need to dwell upon that a great deal, because I think we all know that. But I just feel that it's important to remind us that that is the case, and that we have a battle continually, that we be not overcome of evil, but that we overcome evil with good. I mentioned a while ago that our country is in danger. We've been warned, and I'm not going to go into details. But I remember that there was a revelation given to the church in 1831. I can't recall just what date, doesn't make any difference really. And that revelation said this, or I'm not sure that I'm quoting it verbatim, but I think I can give the true import of it. The world is ripening in iniquity. That was in 1831. 1831 years after Christ was born, approximately. I wonder what it is in 1999. Of course, you and I didn't live in 1831. But we have the history books. And I think most of us are pretty well acquainted with what happened, what was going on, not only in our country here, but in other parts of the world. He didn't say the United States. He said the world is ripening in iniquity. I wonder where it stands today in his sight. I'm appalled when I stop to consider what conditions go on in our public schools today. It wasn't very long ago. And yet, when I put it in years, it sounds like it was a long time. That I spent 6 to 7 hours a day in front of a classroom, month after month, year after year. I think it was the happiest time of my life. There came a time when I said no. Why? Attitudes had changed. I couldn't take the new attitude. And when I hear about things that are going on today, it frightens me greatly. And I know it does you. That somebody's liable to come into a classroom with a gun and just do as much damage as he can. That's scary, isn't it? I don't think there's any question as to what is going on and what it's leading us to. But I'm wondering, I'm thinking about how much responsibility you and I have toward our neighbors. Sorry to be fumbling around here, but my trouble's still with me. Your pardon. I wonder how much responsibility there is, excuse me, to our neighbors, our friends, because of our relationship with our Heavenly Father. How much are we spreading the gospel of Christ? How much are we letting them know of the requirements that God requires of us when we leave this world and go into that which is to come. I wonder how many of the people that we associate with from day to day believe, like so many do, that this life is the end. When we know that it's not the end, it's only a time of change from one status to another. And that status beyond depends upon how we spend this one. I often think of the statement which Jesus made, and I'm looking at the 6th chapter of 3rd Nephi right now. Fifth verse, if you want to follow me. It's not something new, so don't expect something you hadn't heard before. But it's something that is important to those we love, as well as to us. Enter ye in at the straight gate. S-T-R-A-I-T. Now there's another word, it's pronounced the same way, but it's spelled differently. S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. And the G-H turns the whole thing into something else. S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T means the shortest distance from this point to this point. But S-T-R-A-I-T doesn't mean that. It means a narrow passage. A narrow passage. I'll have to get this up here where my eyes can do better. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat, because. So there's a reason here. Because. Straight, S-T-R-A-I-T. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. That means you have to look for it. We have to look for it. I'm thinking about those friends of ours that we ought to be interested in. I'm assuming, maybe assumptions aren't quite in order, but I'm assuming that those of us who attend this church day after time after time after time are well acquainted and have made that decision. But how many of us have friends, neighbors that haven't made it? Maybe don't know about it. Should we be telling them? Is that our responsibility? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I think I'm probably just as guilty as anybody else. I've tried to overcome that. Oh, what is it? Do we call it timidity? It isn't shame, I hope. I hope we're not ashamed to tell people that we believe in Jesus Christ. Do we? Well, think about it. They need to know these things. We have a responsibility to let our light shine. Let your light so shine that others, seeing your good works, may glorify my name. That's what the Savior said. And unless I didn't quite get it quoted, I'm not sure that I quoted it exactly right, Brother Sheldon. But we got a job. We've got a job. Now, I'm not trying to boast, and I don't want you to take it that way. I just want to tell you something that happened that I was involved in, and it kind of gave me the courage to step out, and maybe it would help you. This happened while I was in the service of our country. And when certain things were done, it didn't take them long to find out Nicholas Denham didn't do some of those things. So he was sort of marked. And one day I received orders along with two or three other fellows that we were to go a good many miles away to additional training. And when we got there, they threw a party for us. That was the usual way. Welcome new guys in with a party. So they came around and said to me, Denham, what do you want to drink? Well, I said, have you got some 7-Up? Yeah. I said, well, then how about a glass of 7-Up? Well, okay. So they poured me a glass of 7-Up and gave it to me, and the rest were not using 7-Up, except to kind of fill in. And the commander of the place where we went noticed, and he got my buddies off to the side, and he said, what's Merritt Denham? He's drinking 7-Up. And this fellow kind of smiled, and he said, well, Denham doesn't drink. And Denham doesn't swear. And Denham doesn't smoke. His eyes went wide open. He said, what a man. The next day he said, Denham, you're flying with me today. Well, I was glad. He was top man. He ought to know how to do it. And he took me up and he put me through about everything he could think of, just to see if he could get me shaken. And then he said, take over. And I took over, and he reached down, turned off the switch, and he said, you just lost your engine. What are you going to do? I said, I'm going to set it down that field right there. And he said, go ahead. I dropped into it. Before we got on the ground, he reached down, turned the thing back on, and said, I'll take it over, thank you. And I was passed. You know, that made me feel thankful to my Heavenly Father. If we do what we ought to do, our light shines in spite of all we can do. And that's what should happen to us. I remember another time, a storm out over the sea. And he said, "Who's on that flight?" He said, "Some of us, so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and Denham." "Denham's on that flight?" "Yes, sir." "They'll be okay." If we stand our ground, we're going to shine. And brothers and sisters, that's our job. That's what God has called you and me to do. Stand firm. Do that which He would have us do. And we will get respect from those who look upon us. I hope that I have brought you something this evening that has been a source of encouragement to you. I want to see my brothers and sisters happy. And there is nothing that is so happy as those who are serving God and keeping His commandments. Oh yes, we got trials. And we're going to have trials just down the road ahead of us, not very far. And brothers and sisters, if we're not grounded and grounded well, we're not going to be able to hold up. Mark my word. Let us be faithful. Let us keep the commandments. We heard this morning the things that we should do from our brother Gil. Let's not take those things lightly. Let's remember them. And give our full attention and our full energy to the keeping of the commandments of our Heavenly Father, that when we finish here, we have a straight path right into His presence. Because I saw the other place too. I don't want to see anybody have to go there. I can't describe it. There's no way to describe it. I saw individuals that were so lonely, so hopeless, because when we leave this earth, our doom is sealed, or our joy is sealed. So let's do all we can to let the light shine forth from us to those around us at all times, that we might have that joy fulfilled within our hearts, and not only ours, but theirs. They need to have that hope. I don't want to see anybody lost. But I can't do anything about it except for Nicholas. I can help. And the way I can help is to do for you and all the others that I bump into to help them to look forward to joy everlasting. Thank you.